if God's word means what it says, and we all in this church know he means what he says, right? So if we had all prayed for our leaders to have knowledge and wisdom to rule us accurately so we could live in peace, if we did that, God would have to move on those people's hearts and we would be at peace in America and we would not be experiencing the problem we're experiencing today. It would be a blessed and wonderful land. Now, the first 100 years or so, I mean, it's written, I forget how many thousand times when Congress would meet, the first thing they would do, they would pray and ask God to lead them in their decisions. And we had a wonderful country. Wonderful things happen. But all of a sudden, you know, we get complacent. We don't need to pray no more. You know, God, he'll do what he wants to do. So we don't need to pray. No. And you see what happens when we don't pray, right? Now we're in a place we don't want to be. None of us. You know, so it's amazing what's going on up there. But it's our fault. Our courts oppose people who are righteous. And that's what they're doing. And justice is nowhere to be found. You know, when I think about the courts oppose those that are righteous, some of you may or may not know that this last year they contacted me from Wisconsin and they wanted me to be a witness in a case where a couple, they believed in Jesus. I mean, they were faith people and their little daughter had some kind of an attack with diabetes or something. And so they prayed for her instead of taking her to the doctor. Well, the next morning, the little girl died. And then when the state got involved with it, they asked her when this happened. They said, well, she had the first attack yesterday, but we prayed for her. Well, why didn't you take her to the doctor? Well, we're Christians, and when our children get sick, we always pray for them. We don't run to the doctor every time a child gets sick. We pray. But the next morning, the little girl died. And because they didn't take her to the doctor, because they didn't depend upon the systems of the world instead of Jesus, that woman and that man, last time I heard, I don't know where the appeals are at right now, but they're going to send both of them to jail for not calling the doctors to medicate their little girl. But yet the system will kill 4,000 babies a day in the womb, and nobody says nothing about it. But yet you take one that's alive and she died. Well, whenever the judge, not the judge, but the attorney, he said, if we just had somebody that had seen somebody healed, we could use them for a witness. And that couple knew me. I didn't know them at the time, but they said, we know a man that has walked in God's power. And so told the lawyer about it. He called me. We talked and everything. He said, boy, he said, do you have anything to back up all this stuff you're saying? I said, oh, yeah, thousands of people. I said, you go to my website and look all kinds of stuff. You see people giving their own testimonies. Well, he called me back the next day and said, man, we're going to use you. He said, I went to the judge and I asked him if I could use you. I said, I found a man of faith and we're going to use him as a witness that Jesus does heal. And the judge says, fine. He said, by the way, who is he? He said, Thurman Scrivener. He said, the next day the judge called me and said, I checked that guy out. There ain't no way that guy's going to be in my courtroom. You are not going to have that man in my courtroom. Now, why do you think he didn't want me in his courtroom? Because they would have lost the case. They run into a man that really walked in God's power. And there's people, oh, yeah, we got a man of faith. Oh, yeah, yeah. But he ain't never seen nothing, you know. We check out and everything. And I got tickled here a while back when they had the big thing down in Florida. And some big news agency went down there and they checked and checked and checked and checked. And they're saying all kinds of people are getting healed and all kinds of miracles are happening. And they stayed down there 2 or 3 days and done everything they could do to find one person that had been healed. Couldn't find not one person. Not one. I thought, you know, I wonder why they don't come up here. I got hundreds of testimonies of people that's been healed. Hundreds. Not one or two. I mean, real live people. And a lot of you are in this church, you know. Yeah, but anyway, it's amazing. It says, truth falls dead in the streets and fairness has been outlawed. Does that sound just like where we are today? You think, so this is not new, is it? I mean, it's been here thousands of years ago. It's been here all the time. So God is telling us he's upset with them then. And I got a feeling he's upset with us today. Let's go to the next verses. 15 to 16. Yes, truth is gone. And anyone who tries to live a godly life is soon attacked. You try to walk holy before God, somebody going to be after you. You know, when you start standing on the promises of God and try to walk holy, somebody's going to be on your doorstep to get you. The Lord looked and was displeased to find that there were no justice. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself stepped in to save them with his mighty power and justice. I think he's fixing to do that again. Verse 17 and 18. He put on righteousness as his body armor, and he placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with the robes of vengeance and godly fury. I ain't sure I like that if I'm one of those people out there living in sin. He will repay his enemies for their evil deeds. Now, how would you like for God to repay you for your evil deeds? I don't think I want that. Do you? I'd hold out with to be walking holy. If there's nobody in this world I fear but one, and that's God. I stand in awe before him. I have no fear of man. You know, I don't care what anybody says. I ain't afraid of nobody. If they tell me they're going to kill me, that's okay. You know, I'm still not afraid of them. You know, I mean, just like Dave said, we had total peace in the cockpit the other day. There was no fear. I mean, when I saw the oil pressure going down, no problem. You know, no problem. You know, we're going to be in total control. Like my instructor told me years ago, if you see you're going to fly into a mountain, be in control when you hit the sucker. You know, if you know you're going to fly straight into it, at least be guiding and be in control. Something might happen at the last second. You might be able to get out of it. So be in control. And so that's the way I've lived my life. Don't never get into fear. Know that God's in control. You're with him. He's in charge. And that's just like the guy that was flying over the cliffs of Dover one time, coming back in a B-29, shot all to pieces after bombing Germany. And, huh?
17.
Oh, was it B-17? Okay, B-17. And he's coming back across there, and he sees the cliffs of Dover, and he knows he ain't going to get over them. There ain't no way. He's going to fly right into the tops of them boogers. I mean, he knows that airplane and him and what few guys are left on it is going to be blowed all to pieces. But he said, I'm going to fly it right in there. I'm going to keep it in control. I got full power on that thing. I've got it pulled up trying to get over. I'm going to go there. And he said, if I hit that booger right in the top or halfway down, I'm going to be in control when I hit it. And just as he got there, of course, I think he prayed, but just as he got there, a current of air just come right under, and that baby just flew right over the top of them cliffs. He made it. Now, isn't that amazing? If you pray, what's possible with God after prayer? So should we be afraid? No. If God hadn't raised it up and it had to flew into the cliff, he'd have been eternity with the Lord. You know, so hopefully he was a Christian. So either way, you win. He will repay his enemies for their evil deeds. His fury will fall on his foes in distant lands. Verse 19 and 20. Then at last they will respect and glorify the name of the Lord throughout the world, for he will come like a flood tide driven by the breath of the Lord. The Redeemer will come to Jerusalem, says the Lord, to buy back those in Israel who have turned from their sins. Now, I don't want to have any sins. I don't even want to have to turn back from mine. Do you? No, I don't want to be living there. Verse 21. And this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, and neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, it ends a good way, doesn't it? In other words, if you walk in obedience to God's word and you love him and praise him and do what he says, I mean, you're going to be blessed, your children's going to be blessed, and your children's children are going to be blessed. And I like that. I like to think that he's going to bless me. He's going to bless my children. And, you know, just, I mean, I'm telling you, just like this problem with the airplane. I mean, I didn't grumble or complain. I knew God was in control. And I didn't even fuss whenever they told me what the part was going to cost or nothing. I think airplane parts are ridiculous. You know, it don't make any difference. But if you're going to fly an airplane, that's just part of the price, part of it. You know, they're ridiculous. But I didn't say a thing. And then to think, I get home and a guy writes, wants to know what it costs to fix it. Cheryl tells him, and the next day we get a letter. The check's in the mail. Can you beat a deal like that?
No.
You can't beat a deal like that. But see, like I've said, the airplane belongs to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. Cheryl and Dave belong to the Lord. We all belong to him. And we're out about his business, and he's going to pay his bills. Now then, like I say, I told him up there whenever talking about the sovereignty of God, when that guy said, you know, I can't believe that you're not fussing and cussing about this airplane breaking on Saturday and leaving here over the weekend. I said, sir, God's got something planned for me here, and I know that he knows what he's doing. And again, he just said, you know, you believe in the total sovereignty of God, don't you? I said, yes. He said, you're the only man I've ever met that believed that. He said, everybody else will be fussing and cussing about their airplane broke. And I didn't know then, but I could go back now and say, well, and they'd probably pay a big bucks to get theirs fixed too. God ain't gonna send somebody to pay the price, right, Tom? He said, oh, you're fussing and cussing because I did what I did here. I'll just triple the price for you. And so, I mean, he could do that. But for us, he paid the price. I mean, the whole thing, he paid it. Now then, I want us to go to a little bit of the freedom to finish up this afternoon. I want us to go to Colossians chapter 2, start with verse 1, and I want to look in Colossians 2, 1, and if we can get through part of this, if not, we'll finish it next Sunday. The freedom that we have in Christ is absolutely so awesome that I don't think I've ever even got a real hold on what I really have in Christ and the freedoms I have. And what inspired me to talk about this today was while I was teaching up there in Virginia, there was a man just out of the wild blue asked me, why do you not keep the Sabbath? And I told him the answer, and I'm going to show you in the scriptures. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other friends who have never known me personally. We pray for lots of people we never know personally at this place, don't we, Rosemary? I mean, people call all the time, and some of them we never meet. Some of them get healed when we pray for them, and some of them never even call us back and tell us. It may be 4 or 5 years later, they'll be here, and like a guy the other day, he came here, he said, you know, my wife, he said, I called here, I think 4 years ago, our ministry here, yeah, and somebody prayed for me. He said, I got healed. He said, I never even wrote you a card to say thank you or nothing. But he said, we live a long ways from here, but said, my wife got sick, and so I've brought her. We want her to be healed just like I was. Now see, if she had got sick, I would have never known that he received his healing when one of us prayed for him.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, We Don't Have Free Will, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.